I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Thanks for being here. Sometimes there's a moment that stops you in your tracks and makes you question the way things are. For some people, John McCain provided such a moment yesterday. The senator from Arizona left his district following surgery and a diagnosis of brain cancer, made the difficult trip back to Washington, and cast a key vote in the health care debate in the Senate. McCain also gave an impassioned speech to go with his vote, urging both Democrats and his fellow Republicans to trust each other again for the sake of getting things done.
We've been spinning our wheels on too many important issues because we keep trying to find a way to win without help from across the aisle. That's an approach that's been employed by both sides, mandating legislation from the top down without any support from the other side, with all the parliamentary maneuvers that requires. We're getting nothing done, my friends. We're getting nothing done.
One notable moment in McCain's speech, but there was another one that really stood out for us here at The World, and we want to discuss it with David Rennie, Washington Bureau Chief for The Economist. First, here's Senator McCain again explaining why he thinks making Congress work better for the American people makes a real difference far from our borders.
America has made a greater contribution than any other nation to an international order that has liberated more people from tyranny and poverty than ever before in history. We have been the greatest example, the greatest supporter, and the greatest defender of that order. We aren't afraid. We don't covet other people's land and wealth. We don't hide behind walls. We breach them. We are a blessing to humanity.
America is a blessing to humanity, and then McCain went on to call America an inspirational beacon of liberty for all human beings. So, David Rennie, America's a moral beacon. How does that sort of framing go over today around the world?
There are people around the rest of the world who might not share John McCain's sense that America is kind of the perfect country, the perfect beacon. But one of the things about American leadership that we are discovering in the Trump era is that even bits of the world like Europe, which chafe against when America is seen kind of as arrogant or overbearing, the one thing about American leadership is that when it's lacking, then people really miss it. And you're seeing that in the Trump era. And so, sure, when John McCain was talking in the Senate, he was making a kind of checklist of greatest hits of Republican foreign policy moments. So when he talked about tearing down walls rather than building them, that's clearly saying he's a Reagan guy. He's not a Trump guy. When he talks about not coveting other people's land or oil, that's, you know, a rebuke to Donald Trump saying we should have taken the oil in Iraq. But in the rest of the world, the bigger point he's making about American leadership being not just about America, but about the rules-based order, about making other smaller countries feel that there is a referee, that there's a global policeman, that is a really serious point that resonates well beyond the Senate chamber.
So is he saying, and would you agree, that America as an idea is alive and well around the world?
I think American allies are very anxious. So I've spent quite a lot of this year going to places like Berlin, going to Brussels, going to other capitals to talk deliberately to governments about how they see the Donald Trump administration. And there is a real feeling that Atlanticist leaders like Angela Merkel in Germany or the British government, they feel orphaned. They feel bereft. They worry greatly about an assertive China, about an assertive and aggressive Russia. They don't want America to do all the work. They understand that the American public is quite reasonably tired after years and years of fighting the war on terror. They understand that. But the idea that America has no interest in alliances, is skeptical about the value of things like NATO, that really worries foreign governments. And they have put tremendous effort when they have meetings with Donald Trump. One after the other, they've gone into the Oval Office, having compared notes among themselves, and they all try and tell Donald Trump the same thing, which is alliances are of great benefit to America. They are needed. American leadership is needed. And don't trust people like Vladimir Putin. He is not someone you can do good deals with.
If there is that fear among those leaders, is there an argument to be made that maybe America's deflation of inspirational qualities was beginning before Trump?
This impatience with spending blood and treasure overseas, this skepticism about nation building overseas, the idea that America's got plenty of problems to fix at home, in a very different way Barack Obama won office making some similar arguments, certainly about the Iraq invasion. I think the big difference is that Donald Trump's message to his supporters about America's role in the world has fundamentally been about grievance. It's about America first as America being more selfish, that it's smart and tough to be selfish. It's dumb and naive to try and make America the leader of a rules-based order. Fundamentally, Donald Trump rejects, and his close advisors, when you go and talk to them in the West Wing, and I've been to do this, they reject that post-World War II vision that America, yes, it paid a larger price than other countries, but by being the designer and the upholder of that rules-based order, America did very well, that it was a privilege as well as a burden. That is rejected at the highest levels of the Trump administration, and that's new.
Which makes McCain's speech yesterday, an impassioned speech, really interesting, because he's kind of an avatar of that notion that America has been out in the world and is always resurgent. His life story encapsulates it, right? And shot down on a bombing mission over Hanoi in 1967, captured and tortured by the North Vietnamese, in prison for 5 years, and goes on to be senator and presidential candidate. Does that narrative resonate now, or is it just kind of sticking with his contemporaries, the greatest generation people?
I was in Singapore a couple of months ago with the American Defense Secretary, James Mattis, and a bunch of U.S. senators turned up at this big international dialogue where the Chinese and the Americans, you know, sort of face off. They'd just come from Vietnam with John McCain, and they were kind of laughing, these senators, because they had a newspaper from Vietnam, front page of which is John McCain and friends visit Vietnam, and basically all the other senators might as well not exist. To modern-day Vietnamese, John McCain, the guy who was in their most horrible prison for prisoner of war camps, but then helped lead a kind of rapprochement with Vietnam. He's a huge figure in Southeast Asia. The fact that the USS John McCain, named for his father, was making a port visit in Vietnam was front page news in those countries as a guarantee that there is still an America which wants to be a referee for that security-based, rules-based order where smaller countries like Vietnam do not have to worry that they are on their own against much bigger neighbors like China, that America is there upholding those rules of the road. So even in Southeast Asia, I can tell you from recent experience, that still absolutely resonates.
So when you spoke with President Trump in May for an interview that got you a great deal of attention, we spoke with you afterwards, and you said that Donald Trump is a nationalist with a grievance. He thinks the world has taken advantage of America for too long. At the time, did you have a sense that kind of Trump Republicanism doesn't really embrace the McCain narrative?
Clearly, there's a massive difference between them. And I think another bit of the speech, I mean, he played a fascinating bit of John McCain's speech, but he also said another bit of the speech about the idea that the American system of checks and balances, the sort of the slow way that the Senate takes decisions, the way that it's forced to compromise, the way that the founders set it up, doesn't rest on the nobility of any one person. That idea of America being strong because of those sometimes slow, frustrating checks and balances, and not kind of despite them, that's also really important. It's important in America, but it's also important abroad, because you're seeing a message out there in countries like China, countries like Russia. They point to America's political woes at the moment, and they say, you see, we told you, this messy Western democracy, it was never a good idea. They can't take decisions. They're completely stuck. The China Daily the other day was kind of gloating in an editorial about the fact that Donald Trump was more isolated at the G20 summit in Hamburg than any US president before. They love the idea of dysfunction. So I think that the other really powerful bit of that McCain speech in the Senate was not just where he talked about America's explicit global role, but also talked about the checks and balances, the slow way that the Senate is meant to work, the idea that America doesn't have a strong man who can fix everything on their own, that kind of Trump claim. John McCain's point is that's why America is the greatest and strongest and richest country on earth, that those checks and balances are the cause of America's strength. That also matters tremendously overseas, because that's exactly what autocratic governments around the world are trying to sort of mock and scorn right now in this Trump era.
Yeah, and a bit of a disconnect with McCain's impassioned pleas. It's all happening in the midst of this vicious debate over healthcare in the United States, which isn't happening slowly and carefully.
Sure. And you're seeing some more sort of skeptical voices noting that after John McCain gave this impassioned speech, he then voted for the Senate leadership's version of the health bill, which, right, you know, he'd originally criticized. Now, actually, McCain's people have just put out a thing today saying that it was a procedural vote. But yeah, America is messy. America is very, very divided right now. And healthcare is a classic example of a country which is grappling with deep partisan divides of distrust, where one of the problems is that the idea of the two parties coming together to produce a kind of powerful reform, that doesn't work. Of course, that's an accurate observation, and healthcare is a classic example of that. But the rest of the world is watching this in a very, very painful way. And it's important to know that countries which have no goodwill for America, like Russia, they are rubbing their hands in glee. Countries with lots of goodwill for America, like my own Britain or lots of Western European governments, they are looking at this in real dismay and despair, and they want to see America get back on track.
Let's remember another moment where McCain was speaking. This in 2008 at a rally in Minnesota. He was running for president at the time, and a woman in the crowd told him she feared candidate Barack Obama because, she said, he was an Arab and a Muslim. Let's hear this again.
I got to ask you a question. I do not believe in, I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab. He is not.
No, ma'am.
No?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with on fundamental issues, and that's what this campaign is all about. He's not. Thank you.
David Rennie, could that sort of defense in a public forum with a potential vote on the line, could that even be made today?
It's a very chastening moment, isn't it? It's those kind of generous statements by people like John McCain in 2008 or George W. Bush straight after 9/11 that the world heard, and they thought, okay, this America isn't at war with the whole of Islam, that moderate Muslim countries had a reason to be allies of this America. You know, alliances have been a source of strength for America, as well as a burden. And there's a real sense that this president is only willing to see the burdens. He sees the cost of everything and the value of nothing. And that's something you hear from senators in private. It's something you hear from foreign ambassadors here in Washington. And it's something you hear in foreign capitals who are really anxious about that. They would love to hear an American president sounding like John McCain that you just played in 2008.
David Rennie, the Washington Bureau Chief for The Economist, thank you very much.
Thank you.